Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. This is our regular time and date, Thursdays at about 10:05. We have another great show for you today alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Klein. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Later in the show, starting junior wide receiver Jalen Walker will be joining us. But right now, once again, we have head coach John Hebert. Thanks for being here, coach.
Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right, now we haven't been able to talk to you for a couple weeks, and now the team is on a two-game winning streak, and your guys' record has progressed to 3-2. What's been the biggest difference maker in getting these past two victories?
Well, we've focused a lot on improving the start of the games, and that, I think, in the two challenges that we had in week two and three was that we had dug ourselves a pretty big hole. And, you know, you're playing great teams, and you might not be ready to take advantage of opportunities when they present themselves, or maybe you're not creating opportunities for yourself. And before you know it, you find yourself down in week two by 27 and in week three by 17. So we're really happy with the progress we've made in the department of getting off to a faster start, you know, really trying to set a physical tone for the game. We did that against Pike, and we did that again against Lawrence North, and that's been a concerted effort on our part in our practice and preparation schedule that, you know, we really want to not wait around for things to happen and really initiate the outcomes.
Has there been a different feeling or a different vibe between the players in the locker room after these two big victories in the past 2 weeks?
There definitely has. And I think that the Pike game was a monumental development for us in that we had so many guys that contributed with what we call winning efforts. And so we tried to quantify that, make that known to the guys that, these might not be accomplishments that the casual fan would see, but when we go back and look at the tape and evaluate the game itself, you know, there were just, you know, a couple dozen guys that really did some great things and showed a lot of progress for themselves and helped us win over Pike 38-33. And then, you know, we didn't necessarily quantify that against Lawrence North, but I think it was more of the same. I think, you know, the reason we've won those games is that we've had a lot of people winning individual battles. And when that's happening and people believe in what they're fighting for and who they're fighting for and what we're trying to accomplish as a team, then I think the team is naturally going to grow closer together because of it.
Last year we saw North Central, we play this upcoming week, score 66 total points the entire season. This year they've sort of reinvented their offense. They've scored right at 60 points already this season in the first five games. What are you guys doing differently this year to plan and prepare for this game as different in previous years?
Well, you know, we always look at years past. You know, the game that we played against an opponent, you know, everyone that we play this year with an exception of Cincinnati LaSalle was on our schedule last year. So, you know, that's a great reference point, starting point for us when we start to prepare. But then, you know, we look at what a team has done this year. And so we have, the tape on North Central's games. It's entered into our program, and, you know, so we're able to look at the data of what they've done in pretty much any situation and how they're choosing to attack their opponents and offensively, defensively. And so our approach is entirely based on what a team is currently doing, what they've done this year, what they are doing to opponents, what they're doing in certain situations, what they're doing against certain approaches by their opponent. And so we try to narrow it down to, you know, predictable, you know, outcomes on our opponent's part, and that gives us, you know, the information to go ahead with our game plan. So, you know, we're just sticking to the facts when it comes to North Central, and so we feel like we have a pretty good handle on what they've done. Now, when you approach it that way, you you can't account for when a team is going to, you know, implement something new that they haven't done yet. But then you have to wonder, you know, how good are they going to be at those things if they haven't done them yet? So, but you always have to leave that open for a possibility that you're going to have to make some in-game adjustments based on something new that they're doing. But, you know, so we look at what North Central did against Center Grove last week. 2 weeks ago against Lawrence North, they scored 21 points. You know, they switched their quarterback in the last 2 weeks. I think that's been a big adjustment for them. They're starting a sophomore now that, you know, is a pretty good, solid decision maker. And they moved their quarterback the previous 3 weeks to wide receiver. He's a really good athlete. And so, you know, there's a shift of focus going on at North Central, and we feel like we have an understanding of that and what we're up against. So, you know, we're gonna try and do what we do, though, and that's always going to be the case. You know, you look at what somebody does, and you start thinking about ways to attack it, but it always has to fit with what your values are, what your routines are, what you're capable of executing, and so. With all that considered, you have the making of a game plan.
Now, the game tomorrow against North Central is also the homecoming game. And from the students' perspective, at least, this week is the best school week of the year. And the environment tomorrow will definitely be rocking. It'll be packed, one of the most packed games of the year. How excited are you to step into that environment?
Well, I'm a Carmel guy. You know, I grew up here. And so, to me, growing up, seeing Carmel and North Central out there on the field together is like watching Michigan play Notre Dame. You know, you see the helmets and the uniforms, and you think back to, you know, dozens, if not, you know, of matchups that have gone on between those teams. And so, to me, North Central Carmel has a lot of history. And you throw the homecoming aspect to it, which is, you know, a chance for alums from the past to come and check out how things are going at their alma mater, and so that's a great element to it too. And then on top of that, I think we have the best atmosphere of any school in the state, maybe anywhere, where a school can and rally around the events of the week, and people are having fun. And I just can't see this working other places. I just don't think that it does. I think it's unique. It's special to Carmel. And, you know, from a football perspective, you know, we're trying to keep our focus narrowed to the game itself. And so student body, we hope, is going to have a great time. We hope everyone's going to be excited and enjoying themselves during the day and the events down at the stadium before school lets out. And then tailgating will start some point after that. But our football team has got a job to do, and that's, you know, to prepare and compete against North Central and really try to go for 3-0, go for three wins in a row, go for 2-1 in the MIC conference, and continue to make the progress that we are.
Now, you said this is a great game for alumni to come back and watch their alma mater. You're an alum from Carmel, like you said. And that's one of the main things you've implemented this year, is trying to include a lot of the alumni. Why is that so special to you?
Well, I think anytime you have a team that is trying to accomplish lofty goals and you want supporters, then you need to do things that are going to lead people to want to support you. So, you know, this is a football team that I think plays really hard, and we have a lot of really quality people, human beings in this program, on this team. And so, you know, I think if you're doing things the right way and carrying yourself the right way, and if you, you know, and you're humble, and you know, then you become a team that people can be proud of. And you know, that all starts with this community and people that have lived here and gone to this school. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten emails or phone calls or, you know, just messages in general where people are following the game from, you know, distances really far away. And, you know, just waiting for that opportunity to get back here and check out the team in person. So you never know when somebody is in that situation where they haven't been back in 15, 20 years. This is their chance, you know. And, you know, we as competitors owe it to the people who support us to give our best at all, every time, every opportunity to do so, because that might be that just that one opportunity for that person. And you know, none of us have created this. You know, we inherited a great community here, and that's the responsibility of it. And that really is what tradition is all about. That there are a lot of people before us that made this community, and in particular this football program, great. And we're here now, and it's time for us to live up to, you know, what the expectations are and what they have always been.
Looking back at the past couple weeks, our defense has struggled with the run game. Against Lawrence North, we saw them build really long drives and just drive down the field using mainly the run game. So what steps have you taken to correct that hole in the defense?
Well, I you know, Lawrence North's offense is built on the running game. They completed one pass for 15 yards. That's just what they do. And, you know, their offensive line averaged over 300 pounds apiece. They 6'8", 365 is one of their offensive tackles. Their center was 6'2", 365, you know, and their other tackle is 6'4", 300. And we're playing some guys who have a whole lot of fight in them and are smart, but, you know, our defensive line averages about 205 pounds. So their offensive line, 300 pounds, our defensive line, 200 pounds. So it's a logical result that a team that just wants to run the ball is going to get some yards. It's just not, you know, it's not possible probably to take that away. But in the scheme of the game, in trying to win this game last week, our offense executed and put us in some great positions, and we had the lead. And so, you know, as a head coach, as a defensive coordinator, and you're looking at what the context of the game is presenting to you, we're up by 14 points, we're up by 21 points. If they want to take 15 play drives to chip away and get 3 yards at a clip, then they're not probably going to win the game. And so the object is to win the game, and that's where we go with it. We were successful at achieving some key goals defensively this past game. Number one was we did not allow our goal is to limit the explosive plays by an offense to 4. So an explosive play is a run that's over 10 yards, a pass that's over 16 yards, and they only had 2 of those. So we limited them to 2 explosive plays. Another goal that we accomplished is that we're trying to limit an offense to 3 yards or less on first down 70% of the time. And we did that. I think our mark there was 71 or 72%. So we were successful in those two areas. And what that means for us and what we're trying to do is force an opponent to move the ball entirely down the field, because the more they do, the more they open themselves up for mistakes, which they did. We had 2 interceptions. You know, the times that they did have to pass, we were prepared for that, and that was the difference. Now, you know, you're playing some good opponents here that have some strengths, and sometimes you just have to be strategic about it.
And now on our pregame show, we like to give grades on our report card segment to the team in all aspects of the game. You just talked about the defense there, but what overall grade would you give the team so far?
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate in educational circles about how to grade, and not having a rubric here in front of me. You know, I think in terms of attitude and effort and you know, commitment to one another and coachability, and you know, I'm explaining a lot of intangible things. I would have to give us an A-minus right there. I think we need to get better. I think we need to, you know, project positive body language at all times. It's one thing that we're talking about often is things aren't going well, and we don't want to show that. You know, we want to project positive body language, positive energy, and great things usually follow when someone can do that. But in terms of the scheme and execution, I think you know, we're looking at each game being an assessment. You know, and we've executed at times really well on offense. Different times within each game, and then there are other times where you know, that execution's just not quite up to where we would like it to be. And then defensively, I think it's the same. You know, you look at the Pike game, and we probably had, I think, 7 3 and outs against Pike, but they had explosive plays in that game. We did not reach our goal there. So, I don't know. I guess if you really press me, I'd say right now we're at about a B-. That's about where I would put us, because we have great expectations and great goals. We want to be a championship caliber team. We want to be playing our best football. You know, when the season is reaching the playoff stage, and you know, we're making progress there, but not quite there yet.
Against Pike, we saw a lot of plays where Michael Victor, the quarterback, takes the ball himself. It was designed like that. And then the hamstring injury happened in the second quarter. In the game against Lawrence North, we didn't see him really take the ball by himself at all. Were you guys just trying to protect him from that hamstring injury occurring again? And will we see him take the ball more throughout the season or less?
Well, for one, you take, to a certain degree, you take what the defense is giving you. You take what's open. And, you know, obviously Michael's physical condition is a factor in play calling and in the game plan. And so you know that a guy is, you know, not 100% and didn't play in the second half against Pike the week before. So, yeah, we thought, how can we exploit you know, the defense of Lawrence North without, you know, without putting him in jeopardy. And so I think we did a great job at that. He was 16 of 16 in the first half. I can't remember a quarterback at Carmel that had that kind of a performance, and really speaks to his versatility and his skill set, that he can have the kind of runs that he had against Pike and turn around the next week and be just as impressive throwing the ball. And I think that poses a lot of problems for our opponents each week, because if you're North Central or anyone going forward and you're looking at the tape of those two games, it's almost like two entirely different teams that you have to prepare for. Speaking as a defensive coordinator, that's your biggest challenge, is preparing against teams that can really run the ball, teams that can also throw the ball. We were talking about Lawrence North, and they gained, you know, whatever yards they got, but they were one-dimensional. And if you can take a team and make them one-dimensional, then you have a chance to beat them. It's the teams that you can't eliminate one or the other, and you can't make them one-dimensional, that can strike, that can make plays when you know, they need to. And those are the most dangerous teams. And you know, I think we can run the ball really well. We've proven that. We've done that numerous times. And, you know, there are times where we wish we were a little bit better at it. But we're, you know, we're still a very strong running team. And I think teams have to prepare for us throwing the ball, because we have some really great receivers. We have, you know, a quarterback, really two quarterbacks that can throw the ball really well. And then on top of that, we have a great system, a great plan. Our offensive coordinators, our offensive coaching staff is outstanding. And that's a great combination. We're excited about it.
Speaking of the offensive coordinators and offensive coaching staff, you said they have a great receiving core. But one of the players that, when we talk about all the receivers that we don't talk about as much, is Kurt Raftel. What's it like having a true tight end in this system for the first time in the past probably 5 or 6 years?
Well, I think Kurt's starting to live up to what the coaching staff has always thought his potential would be. He's very athletic for being 6'7". He is a great route runner for being that big. He's deceptively quick. He has great hands. He's able to catch the ball and get going north-south right away. I just think that his potential is limitless, and we're starting to see some of that come to life right now. And I think that's a huge challenge, to have somebody that big that the ball can be thrown at a place where defenders can't get to it, and only he can. So great job getting him the ball last week, and he knew what to do with it, made some big plays. He's also a great blocker. He's getting better all the time. He's working really hard in the weight room. Yeah, Kurt Raftall's definitely a big asset to our offense.
All right, thanks so much for joining us again, Coach. Another great conversation. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Coach Heber. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll recap that interview, and we'll have starting junior wide receiver Jalen Walker on later in the show. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Klan, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Another great interview with head coach John Hebert. He gives the best answers.
Oh, for sure.
And I really liked that stat against Lawrence North. We've been looking through the media guide for tomorrow's game against North Central, but we didn't realize that Michael Victrop actually went 16 for 16 in the first half of that game. And just, again, great answers and... I'm really looking forward to broadcasting the game tomorrow.
I really am, too. It's going to be an exciting one, especially because North Central is a much different team than we've seen in previous years. Like I said earlier to Coach Hebert, last year they scored 66 total points, and they've already hit the 60-point mark this season halfway through. So, I mean, they're a much different team. They moved their quarterback to wide receiver, moved one of their wide receivers to quarterback, like Hebert said. So, I mean, it's going to be a very fun and exciting game to watch.
And I love what Coach Hebert said about Michael Victrop. And if I was opposing defenses and I heard that interview, I would be so scared, guys, because he said with his passing attack, he's unbelievable. If you watch the tape, he only threw two incompletions the whole game, last game. And you have unbelievable wide receivers on that side. And then also the run game and the ability that Victrop can take the ball himself. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's been outstanding so far. And I think that opposing defenses definitely have to watch out for that dual threat of Michael Victrop.
And I really liked how we challenged him with some of our questions. I went right after him and said, hey, what grade would you give the team so far on their overall performance? And he didn't beat around the bush. He said B minus. And he justified his reason as in, you know, he thinks they're doing pretty well so far. And well, he also said he doesn't have a rubric in front of him. He used to be a history teacher, but he said B minus because he thinks they have such a high ceiling. And I really liked how honest he was.
Yeah, I mean, he's brutally honest. You ask him any single question about anything, whether football, school, anything, he'll be totally brutally honest with you. And we saw that there. I mean, giving it a B minus, he bounced back and forth between an A minus to B minus. But on the aspect of the game itself, he said B minus. But the mentality and everything is an A minus. And I can really agree with that. And watching some of the players at practice getting hype, I mean, going after other players and they're not doing stuff that they're supposed to be doing. I mean, the players are really getting high energy and getting everything going. I think Coach Hebert's feeding off of that a lot.
And I love what Coach said about homecoming week. You could definitely hear the excitement in his voice. He's excited. He loves Carmel. And that's like the best part about Coach Hebert is that he loves this school. He loves this team. And he's definitely excited for this homecoming game, guys.
I am too. And right now we are fortunate enough to have receiver Jalen Walker in the studio with us. Thanks for joining us, Jalen.
Thank you for having me.
We just want to put you on the spot. You didn't realize you were going on.
My bad. Thanks for joining us once again. And the team is now 3-2 and played some pretty stiff competition. And with the two losses coming to number one Center Grove and Ohio's number one team, LaSalle, those are some pretty big games. But you guys play in a lot of big games every year. What's your favorite game to play in?
My favorite game to play in is probably Center Grove because it's such a big rivalry. And it's always an evenly matched game, so it's always fun to play in that kind of game.
And in the past couple of games, we've seen you and quarterback Michael Victrop really get a great connection for long down-the-field passes. What have you guys done during practices to try and get that connection to be better?
Well, we've been playing with each other for a couple years now, so the connection's there. We've taken a little more reps in practice here and there to get the connection better, but it's been pretty good ever since we started playing together.
So far on the season, you have 266 receiving yards on 20 catches. That's a pretty great average right there. What are you guys going to do these next couple weeks to try to up the receiving yardage between you and Ethan Merriweather, Michael's top two targets?
We're going to keep doing the same thing we've been doing. We've been improving week after week, so it's going to keep getting better and better.
And Jalen, you're a wide receiver and get a lot of attention along with other skill positions like any team. However, all the players on the field contribute in some way. Who are the unsung heroes on this team?
I would say definitely the linemen don't get enough credit for what they do, but they play a huge role in our successes on and off the field. They're all leaders, so it helps us vitally.
With North Central's defensive scheme, are you guys going to be running the? Are you guys going to be using the air attack more or running the ball more with Tobias?
It's going to be pretty balanced both ways, so they'll get a little bit of our passing attack and a little bit of our running attack.
You said a second ago that the offensive line, all those guys are leaders on this team. You're a two-year starter on this team, only a junior, but everyone sort of looks to you as a leader. Do you think of yourself as a leader on this team?
Yeah, I see myself as a leader. I got to take charge every once in a while, and I lead by example mostly.
And you said we'd see a balanced offense this week, and that's sort of been the theme all year, a nice running attack and a really good passing attack. But I feel like this has happened to all of us at some point in youth sports, and you have it at a high school varsity level. What's it like with your dad as the offensive coordinator?
It's pretty cool because we can go home and watch film together, and he can like give me tips of what I need to do better, and I can give him tips of stuff that we think we could do better. So it's pretty cool.
You're a two-year varsity player, played on the team as a sophomore last year, now playing on a team as a junior. What's been the main difference between last year's team and this year's team?
I think the main difference is just a different mentality we have this year of more attacking instead of, you know, what we've been. And our offense is a lot different with the more passing. So, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of changes, but, like, subtle changes like that, yeah.
I know Jack asked you a question earlier about what's your favorite team to play against, but you've played in stadiums, Lucas Oil, Nippert Stadium at Cincinnati, and everywhere in between. What has been your favorite stadium to play at and why?
Lucas Oil, just because it's different playing there.
And the lights shine brightest on Friday nights. What's your favorite high school stadium to play at, besides Carmel?
When we went down to Louisville Trinity last year, I really enjoyed playing there because the atmosphere was great.
What's the energy been like during practice leading up to this homecoming game on Friday?
It's been big. We've had a lot of energy. Everybody knows that homecoming is a huge thing here, so there's been a lot of energy at practice.
And we know you won a hurdle state track meet last year, and you showed that speed the other night on your screen catch. How do those two sports factor into each other between football and track?
Well, football... you use a lot of your speed, so track has helped me with that so much, just becoming faster and just a better athlete overall.
Now, you play track in the spring and football in the fall. Do you use track to just simply train for football, or do you actually really love track? So which one do you like more?
I enjoy track. Football I like a little bit better just because it's more of a team game. Track's a little more individual. But, yeah, I do use track to train. It helps me get faster, obviously, and then a little more endurance buildup. So it helps a lot.
We've asked different players this question every single week, and we've gotten a variety of different answers. But in the locker room before a game, what kind of music are you listening to try and get dialed in for the opening kickoff?
Well, I usually listen to a little bit of my own music, put the headphones in. Hip-hop, usually, get a little hype. In the locker room, they play a variety of music, really. Usually it's hip-hop, but there's a little country thrown in there, a little old school. So it's a little mix.
Interesting country. I didn't really expect that. But we are in Indiana. So, changing gears here, working throughout the week and playing every Friday night, what's your biggest motivation factor?
My biggest motivation factor is definitely to get a state championship. We've come up short 2 years in a row now, so it's kind of been eating at me a little bit.
And now you're the starting wide receiver, and you go against all the scout team guys during practice. Who has been one scout team player that's really challenged you and pushed you throughout the season?
Well, pretty much all of the DBs, but in particular, Sean Blackburn has. He's always getting after it during practice, so he's been helping me a lot.
Do you think this team, through the first five games, has played up to its full potential, or do you think there's still a little bit more that this team can give?
I think we can definitely play a lot better than we have. We haven't been able to play a full game through of our best potential yet, which is, it's good to see because we have a lot more that we can give and show.
Now, looking to the game tomorrow night and specifically, sort of just give us an idea of what North Central looks on the defensive side of the ball and what the secondary looks like, what you're going to go up against as a wide receiver.
Well, they're all good athletes out there. They're well coached. They're going to play a lot of deep coverage, try to take away the deep throws, give a lot of underneath stuff open. So it's going to be interesting.
And it's no secret last year that you guys beat them 56-0, and they're 0-5 this year. How do you guys motivate yourself to go against a team that you've had a lot of big success against in the past?
Well, we just take it as a new year. Every season's a new season, so they're going to be better and better every year. They're getting better. We just have to play to our full potential and don't worry about who we're playing against, but we have to worry about ourselves and not beating ourselves.
Last game against Lawrence North last week, we saw in the first half, Michael Victrup did not throw an incomplete pass, and then the second half he threw two. What's it like having a quarterback who's that consistent with his receivers?
It's great. It helps us out a lot. We know that he's back there giving us good throws. If we run our routes right, we're going to get the ball, and we're going to make plays. So it's nice having him back there.
All right, thank you so much for joining us here, Jalen. Good luck tomorrow in the homecoming game. Best of luck. Hope you guys get the win.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to recap that interview and give a little bit more of a recap about the interview with Coach John Hebert and then preview the game tomorrow. You're listening to 91.3 WHG, the voice of the Greyhounds.
Victrup awaiting the snap. Gets the snap. Fake handoff to Tobias. Looking right side. Goes middle. Goes long for Jalen Walker. He's got it. He's got it at the 10-yard line. An unbelievable catch by Jalen Walker. And they're inside the red zone with 37.3 seconds left in the half.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. That was a nice little clip of a Jalen Walker catch and a nice bed that Brady put together there. Unfortunately, we couldn't play it when he was on. He had to check out because he had to go study. Student athletes, ladies and gentlemen, academics are very important here. And so that was a really nice clip, Brady. Thanks for putting that together.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
You'll hear more of that in our pregame show and postgame show and all that. Actually, during the game as well, we actually have interview clips at quarter breaks of the actual broadcast. So stay tuned for those. But let's talk about those two interviews we had with Coach John Hebert and Jalen Walker. Those were some nice interviews. And we talked about the interview with Coach Hebert a little bit. What really stood out from all of his answers?
I'm going to have to say what I said earlier, his brutal honesty. Because when you asked him the question, Jack, about the grade that he would give the team in the season so far, he didn't beat around the bush. He wasn't like, oh, they're amazing, they're an A right now. Though he was brutally honest. He said, right now, mentally, we're at an A-, but in our gameplay, we're at a B- because we have everything that we can improve on. And I can totally agree with him that they have those small things that they need to improve on. And if they, one of them being starting off the games, they've started off really slow the last couple games. And that's the one thing they're working on a lot this week in practice is the start. I mean, before practice every day, or the very first period of practice, they all get in a big circle around the Greyhound. They call out two players, and they just go at it with each other. And it just gets everyone hype. It's an offensive player versus a defensive player. And it's pretty much, I don't know how to describe it, like sumo wrestling. Whoever pushes them out of the circle wins. And whoever pushes them out, that just gets the environment totally psyched and hyped for practice. It's awesome to watch that.
I think that's called combat drill.
Yeah, it is.
From what I talked to the offensive linemen about, they really like it because they can hit some defensive players. It's great stuff. But Sam, what did you think?
Yeah, I definitely got to agree with Brady. His honesty was definitely relevant. You could tell he knows what his team has to fix. By giving them that grade of a B-, like he knows what they have to do to become better. He knows that this team has not played up to their full potential. They still have a lot more to give. And he's doing all the right things, I think, to adjust that. And I love what he's doing with the team, the combat drill in the beginning. He's really bringing this team a lot closer than it has been. And I think we're going to see that in the games moving forward. They're going to use this momentum from the past two victories, and they're just going to keep moving. And what he's doing with his team is really good. I think he's doing a lot of great things, and he was definitely very honest in that interview.
Would you agree with Coach Hebert that they're about at a B-, or would you give them a little bit higher of a grade?
Yeah, I would agree with a B minus because I think they have been playing a little underneath their full potential. I think they have a lot more. The defense has a lot of great talent on it, and I think that if the defense finally gets moving up and playing right at their full potential, then we have an A team. But I definitely have to agree with that B minus.
And that stat that Coach Hebert said was the size differential between the last couple of weeks, the 300-pound offensive lineman to our 200-pound defensive lineman. I mean, Sam Hipple, Rodney Haywood, Britt Beery, Kylan Cole, the four main defensive linemen. Scott Levine thrown in that mix, too. So, I mean, those are not big guys. Britt Beery's the biggest one of them all, and he weighs 240 pounds, and he's 6'7". I mean, and having those players go against the 300-pound guys, that's why the athleticism of our defense is much higher than most, especially the defensive front seven, where you'll see other teams that have 300-pound defensive linemen, where ours is a much smaller, athletic. I mean, Sam Hipple's a state champion wrestler. He was last year. He's going to probably do it this year, hopefully. Rooting for him, Sam, on that one. But having those guys up front and the ability to get outside quick is really dangerous to opposing quarterbacks, I think.
I'm going to have to go with a B or a B plus. I really think they're capable of a lot, but they're just not quite there yet. I'm actually going to give them a B plus considering their personnel. Like you said, they're so much smaller on that defensive line than a lot of the other teams they play. Lawrence North, man, three 300-pound linemen? That's ridiculous. And I really think they can win a state championship this year. They have the capability of it. But as far as schemes and just a few things, they're just not quite there with the execution. But I still think they're doing a wonderful job. And B-plus just because they have a really high ceiling. And now let's preview that North Central game a little bit tomorrow. We'll go to a break and give some predictions after that. But let's just give a slight preview of it, Sam.
I think Carmel's going to score a whole bunch of points. Coming off a great two victories against Pike and against Lawrence North, where they scored 34 against Lawrence North and 38 against Pike. In the first five games, North Central has given up 28, 41, 60, 34, and 38. So their defense not at the best they could be right now. I think Carmel is going to use their passing attack and their running attack at different parts of the game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game by Carmel, and I think this is the game where the defense gets a stop, limits them to maybe 7 or 10 or less points, and I see Carmel winning this one in a blowout.
I agree with you, Sam. It's going to be a very good game to watch. I think the Greyhounds are going to get a quick start, one of the first quick and fast starts that we've seen all season since the HSC game, where that one was just 28-0 to start off the game. But I think the Greyhounds in this game will come out flying, come out trying to hit some people. I know defensive backs are going crazy this entire game. They're going to have a huge game because of the passing that North Central does and the running that they have, the defensive front seven. So I think offense and defense are both going to start off really hot and have a great game tomorrow.
North Central is better than last year, but guys, they're struggling. They really are. I just pulled up this stat from the media guide that we get every week. They've lost 16 games in a row, not just five this season, 16 games in a row moving back to last year. That's just brutal, man. And I think the environment will really get us hyped up. The Carmel players will come out really motivated, and I just think it'll be a blowout, quite frankly. We won 56-0 last year, and I think we'll see a similar number this year. Their offense is a little better. They might put up 7 or 14 points, but it's going to be a blowout. I really think it will. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we'll have predictions here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. You're listening to the Voice of the Greyhounds. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE The Edge. Alongside Brady Klain and Sam Wiederhoff, I'm Jack Kaiser. We just talked about the game coming up and what we've thought of the season so far. Now let's make an actual prediction for the game tomorrow. I sort of hinted at it. Sam, what's your actual score?
Prediction, Greyhounds come out firing first quarter. They lead by the score of 21-0 after the first quarter, and the final score will be 42-7. The Greyhounds come out in the victory at home in the homecoming game against North Central.
I agree that the Greyhounds are going to be up quick, really early. I think North Central will put a little more than we expect. I think they're going to score 14 points in this game, 10 to 14 points North Central will, but the Greyhounds will just destroy it. I think they're going to get 42 to 48 points in this game. So I'm going to say 48 to 10.
Guys, we agree way too much on this show. We need
you
to have
no idea.
We need to have some contradictory opinions. We really do, because I want a little bit of debate, man. You know, it's not fun agreeing with you guys all the time. We disagree off the air, but we need to start disagreeing. We need to start disagreeing on the air.
Okay, fine. To change that, then I'll predict the Greyhounds win this game at the score of 42-0. I'm just going to cut that 7 out. I mean,
but I pretty much can agree with that too. I really can.
Fine. 42 to 38.
Great minds think alike.
Do you agree with more the 42 or the 7 against them? Which one do you agree with more?
Oh. I think we'll score more than 42.
Okay.
I really do. North Central's defense is very bad. So
our offense can get inconsistent at times.
I know, but I think that North Central's offense will score a few points. So I'm going 56-14. The score was 56-0 last year. I think they put two touchdowns up on the board this year. Brady?
I'm excited. Well, I know I'm going to keep with my score prediction, but if it does get to that point in the game, they'll probably pull out that first string offense and that first string defense. They'll put in the second, maybe even third, down the depth chart. And I'd be really excited to watch if Michael Vick-Trip does come out of the game. Not an injury, but they're up so much. I want to see what Jake McDonald can do in this game, because we saw him against Pike 2 weeks ago. He didn't throw a whole lot. He did a good job just having a nice read option play, which really he ran every time. There was a whole 15-play drive where they just gave it to Tobias every single time. So I want to see more of him. I want to see his arm a little more. I know they've been working on it, and maybe even down the line even more to Rogan Goldblatt and some of the other quarterbacks that are down the depth chart and some of the other receivers that are there too.
That is a great point that you brought up there, Brady. Jake McDonald most likely will get a lot of reps in there in this upcoming game, and I want to see what he has. He didn't really have to do much against Pike because our running game was so spectacular, but I want to see how he flourishes against the North Central defense. We've heard players talk about how great he is at practice, and I want to see him sling it a lot in the game and see what we have. I mean, we won't be around, but I want to see what Carmel has next year as he steps in.
Well, if Vick-Trip is on it, just like a game against Lawrence North, then McDonald will definitely get in. I think if Vick-Trip can have the game like he had against Lawrence North last week, where he did not throw an incompletion in the first half and ended up throwing two incompletions the whole game, where he's just on it with his receivers, they will score them more than 42 points. But I just don't see that happening for the second week in a row. I don't know why. It's just something in me that just doesn't see it. But I think they're going to use Vick-Trip with the running attack a little bit more. But yeah, I got him scoring 42 points.
I think I know why you don't see it, Sam, because where they will have that big power in that first half, maybe even to the third quarter a little bit. And then when they do pull their starters and stuff out, then the offense always, we've seen this years, it's a pattern. The offense just spikes. It doesn't spike all the way down, but it just gradually slows down because you don't have that total force, where North Central will probably keep their first string offense and their first string defense in the entire time to try to stick up with Carmel. And maybe they put in their second string wide receivers or quarterbacks a little bit. North Central will, but I think the Greyhounds will work their way all the way down their depth chart, and that's why everything will slow down, but North Central will still have that high-powered and first string offense and defense in the game.
Even though the game itself might not be that entertaining tomorrow, the environment should be great. And homecoming week's the best. We're all in here wearing safari stuff. We got bucket hats on and some great shirts. But it's just a great week and really caps it off well. It should be fun. So that's it for us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. For Sam Wiederhoff, Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We'll be on every other Thursday during SRT, that's our study hall, at about 10 o'clock all the way up to 11. Thanks for listening to 91.3 WHG, the voice of the Greyhounds.
Also, real quick, shout out to Jonathan and Justin Foss committing to play soccer at the University of Southern Indiana. Good job to both you guys, and hope you have a great career.
All right, thanks, Brady. You're listening to The Edge.